What is good? What is happening? Welcome back to the Dynasty Gambit. It is good to be back. Oh, my Lord. Going for two YouTube channel after a week off. I don't even know how to even talk at this point. Guys, I am Fantasy J over there on Twitter. We are here tonight to talk free agents and the fallout of free agency with my co-host Kyle Sinra at Sinra Says and Brian at Vandegrad over there on Twitter. Fellas, how is you doing? How are you doing this evening? And are you ready to talk fantasy fallout?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't want to ramble too much because we have so much to talk about. So I would say I'm just happy to be here with Brian, with Gator on the Dynasty Gambit.
Brian, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm just glad to be back after missing last episode. And between this and March Madness, it's keeping me pretty busy. Certainly.
Right on. Well, just some quick housekeeping stuff tonight. I do have some stuff I have to do, so I may jump off early. Just want to give everybody a heads up. But Brian and Kyle will be here giving you all the advice that's going on.
You know what? And I'll throw this out there just because you hijacked Jamie's show on Thursday.
That's right.
Or Tuesday. So, Jamie, if you want to jump in and hijack this show, feel free. We'll send you an invite. But
absolutely.
Hey, Jamie, in the comments again. And I kind of just hijacked Gator's intro, so go ahead, Gator.
I love it. No, that's what we are here on the Gambit. You never know what's going to happen, right? It is what it is. But before we dive too far down this rabbit hole of free agency fallout, if you haven't already, hit that like, hit that subscribe, and hit the bell so you know when, so you get all the notifications when Going for Two is going live. Real quick, this came out late before we came on the show, about 2 hours ago or so. But Zeke came out today and said he has a list of teams that he wants to play for. That is the Eagles, the Jets, and the Bengals. Brian, real quick, which one of these teams do you think he fits with? And which one do you think is going to pay him?
Well, I mean, my first question off the top of my head, was this Zeke's wish list? Or are the teams actually coming out saying they want him? But
I believe this is Zeke's wish list.
Okay, that's the biggest question I've got, because the latter part of that, which ones are willing to pay him? I don't know. Each one of those has the potential opening, with Miles Sanders leaving the Eagles, Samaje Perine leaving the Bengals. So there's an opportunity. I guess I would go with the Eagles just because they did lose Miles Sanders, and Gainwell's more of a third down back specialist. So maybe Zeke has an opportunity there.
Oh, quit doing that to Gainwell. Gainwell averaged over 9 yards a carry in the playoffs. Come on. Kyle, what do you think about this situation?
He's a third down specialist, and I think he had 26 receptions last year. So, that's just the Eagles, right? They're not going to their running backs. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, why would you ever dump down, right?
Right.
If one of them is going to be open on every play, that's probably the move. Like the targets to Quez Watkins and Zach Pascal feel like they were wasted too. But the truth is, I'm with Brian on this. Is I'm not really reacting to this until I know that Zeke actually signs. Do any of these teams want it? I know not that this has any bearing on what the Jets general managers do, but it sounds like Breece Hall and Michael Carter were having kind of talks back and forth on Twitter, kind of saying, "Yeah, we're good."
I mean, unless
that's going to stop a GM though, but.
Unless the great almighty Aaron Rodgers says, yeah, put Zeke on the team once I get there. I mean, that's a possibility. Hey, we had a few trades happen over the last few days or so. Darren Waller goes to the Raiders to the Giants from the Raiders for a simple third round pick. Only one question on this for you guys, and I'll start this off with Brian. What does this mean for Daniel Bellinger?
To me, it's kind of a split. I mean, I think both you could use two tight end sets. But, I mean, if you look at Bellinger's stats, yeah, they were okay for a rookie, but he was only 30 receptions for less than 300 yards and 2 touchdowns. So, I'm assuming he'll have a slight uptick, not necessarily in usage, but production. But all in all, I see it kind of a split tight end unless they go two tight end sets. So,
all right, so let me flip this over to Kyle real quick. Can Waller return to a top five tight end? We saw him as a top five tight end a few years ago. Can he do that with a Daniel Jones led Giants team?
Yeah, I think he finished as a top five tight end back-to-back years, 2019, 2020. And I mean, the 2020 season, I think, is kind of an outlier for him. I believe, I don't even think he got to double digit touchdowns, but he got to, I think, 8 or 9. And like, that's, I think, it, you know, any other season that almost doubles his career high in every other season. So looking at that 2019 season, the fact that he was tight end 3 with 3 touchdowns is maybe the only encouraging thing. Cause I think that going to the Giants, the biggest downgrade for him is, well, I guess this with the Raiders, you know, Josh Jacobs run heavy, Saquon Barkley run heavy in terms of he can score a lot of touchdowns. So, and also Daniel Jones, not the greatest at throwing touchdowns. So there's hope because he was able to do it in a season where I think he didn't even get 120 targets, but he was like super efficient with yards. He had 1,100 yards on less than 100 catches and only 3 touchdowns and somehow finished as the tight end 3. Now, a few things happened that year too. A, Mark Andrews missed a few games, and I think points per game was basically right there with Waller. So, you know, it was, he had the touchdown, just not the 1,000-yard season. So they were kind of the yin and yang of completing each other. As long as Lamar Jackson's still on the Ravens, Andrews appears to be the target alpha that back in 2019 he wasn't. That was still Marquise Brown leading the team in targets. So that's one guy that's kind of moved up into that top three that in top five that could prevent it. Goddard was playing behind Zach Ertz that year. TJ Hawkinson, I think he was a rookie. So if I had to bet, I would bet no, just because I think the ascension of those three in particular are going to prevent him from reaching the top five. Forget, of course, well, not to forget, of course, Kelce and Kittle, who were the top two tight ends back in 2019, already ahead of Waller. And I don't think he's not going to pass them, I don't think. So, and if Kyle Pitts ever figures it out, I mean, you're looking at tight end 6 and 7. So I would guess no, but I don't think it's impossible.
And I don't one think it's last be, thing on Waller. He's
I don't think
31
it's gonna be,
now.
Hang on one second, Brian. Hang on one second. Okay. I don't think it's going to be hard for him to get top 10. Nope. But reaching that top five is going to be the issue, if that's what you're saying there. Right, Kyle?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just there's too many names at the top. And it's not even for him. It's just I think you'd have too many guys needing to fall down for him to be to regain that top five status.
Right on. Okay, Brian, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, you're perfect. Fine. It's my fault. A couple last things to take into consideration. Waller is 31, and he's been dealing with injuries the past couple of years as well. So I totally agree with Kyle. The top five, while possible, I don't see it.
Right on. Right on. A trade happened that we knew was probably going to happen, or at least I think we all suspected it was going to happen, and that's Elijah Moore got traded from the Jets. But I think we expected him to be part of a package for Aaron Rodgers, and that's a big not anymore. Ha-ha. See what I did there?
Yeah.
But he went to the Cleveland Browns. Now, do you?
I guess I want to know how Jamie feels about this more than anything. Yeah, but yeah.
Well, Jamie is in utopia right now because they have decided that Deshaun Watson is going to pass the ball, in my opinion, and not that, you know, they got rid of. Or I didn't say they got rid of. They allowed Hunt to walk, you know. So I think
Andy Ernest Johnson
is now with the Jags. So it's going to be interesting to see how this offense is going to progress. But my question is about this trade is, first of all, do you think, and I'll go to Kyle here, do you think it eats into Njoku's targets?
Yeah, I think Jamie's going to like my answer, and I'll say no. I think the biggest threat to Njoku's targets is just them signing Jordan Akins, still having Harrison Bryan, like the rotation at tight end is more, you know, it's because I think Elijah Moore coming on the field isn't going to take away the tight end off the field. And they'll play two tight end sets. To me, though, it's when they go to two wide receiver sets, I think Donovan Peoples-Jones is off the field when they're going into those two tight ends, only two wide receivers. That, you know, Amari Cooper's probably going to play a ton of the snaps. And I think Elijah Moore has shown he can win routes from the slot or from the outside. So when they're playing with three wide receivers, he's probably the slot guy. But then when they go to two receiver sets, he can also be the outside guy. So I think Donovan Peoples-Jones is the one that gets hurt the most by this.
And that's because he's not going to be on the field. All right. So
he's sad too. Apparently he's got quite a lot of DPJ. It's funny because I just I had a trade out for Donovan Peoples-Jones, and I kind of just retracted it. So
right. Oh, you did, and the guy, you know, the guy was sitting there going, "I'm fixing to accept."
Well, here's the thing: Donovan Peoples-Jones was the second throw-in piece to get something back, and I was trying to get Lamar Jackson. So what was it? It was Kyler Murray, Josh Dotson
from Washington. Dotson. Yeah.
Yeah. Not Dotson. That's the other bad watch. That's the other first round Washington receiver that was a total bust. But yeah, Dotson. It was Murray and Dotson for Lamar Jackson and Donovan Peoples-Jones. I think I might have thrown a third back, but
yeah, that would have been.
I put it out, sitting out for a few days, and eventually kind of just got nervous and retracted it.
Yeah, that would have been hard to do.
I hate when trades, you got to wait a whole week and stuff. No, if you've got a few days, you didn't see it. I'll bring that up maybe.
No doubt. Brian, can Elijah Moore, I thought he was going to be a wide receiver too in the Jets offense with the issues that they had, you know, whether it was his attitude or whether it was Robert Saleh, whatever the situation was, there was bad juju going on with the Jets and the wide receiver room last year. Can he be a wide receiver too in this offense with the likes of a Cooper, Njoku, a Chubb also demanding the ball?
Yeah, I mean, he can be, but I'm not totally out on Peoples-Jones, to be honest with you. I mean, Elijah Moore is yet – I like the talent with Elijah Moore, but he's yet to prove himself because he wasn't given an opportunity. So he's coming to a new team where Peoples-Jones has already been the incumbent, so – I think both of them could do quite well, but in terms of exactly who will be the wide receiver too, it's hard to say. And in terms of fantasy, I would put both of them outside of the wide receiver 24. They'll be probably wide receiver threes in terms of fantasy overall. So,
yeah, and like I said, I did want to look at something you had put on the show sheet was as a question back to, I think, both Kyle and myself was is the Browns offense going to evolve and be a more pass heavy offense? And I started to answer that earlier. And I do believe it is going to be a more pass heavy offense. When you look at the stats from last year per PFF, Brissett attempted, you can tell I'm getting hungry. Brissett attempted 369 passes in 12 games. And in half the games, Watson passed 170 times without even knowing basically the offense. He couldn't do anything with time or anything. So he was only, yes, half the games, but almost already half the amount of passing yard or passing attempts. So I feel like that, they've added some receiver here, some quality receivers, not just a receiver. They added quality receivers. They didn't go and get a Juju. They went and got an Elijah Moore, who is, in my opinion, a better player than Juju. So
they probably weren't getting a receiver of that caliber with that second round pick, and they didn't lose a pick; they traded back. So, from an NFL standpoint, I think it's a great move by the Browns.
And this is exactly where I was thinking that the pack would be. This is going to have to be a piece, right? And if they're going to get rid of Rodgers or whatnot, so anywho, Kyle, take it away, sir.
Yes. I guess it's funny that we're talking about the Cleveland Browns, because what better underdog story than the Cleveland Browns, right? At least a long-running underdog story. We've been underdogs for a while. Sorry, Brian, going to cover your face here a little bit, but there is a promo code that you can use to join Underdog as part of the going for two outreach with Underdog. You can also scan the QR code, which is on the screen, again, covering Brian's beautiful face. But sorry, we'll get back to that, folks, the moneymaker. But if you want to participate in that moneymaking, use the promo code GF2 or the QR code. And if you join Underdog with that promo code or that QR code, Underdog will double whatever you deposit, up to $100. So if you put in that $100 with the code, you will get an extra $100. You'll have $200 in your account to use right away. I guess I was going to say, you can't. Baseball's done with the World Baseball Classic, but there's a baseball season. I almost forgot. How could I? NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, golf. I think the Masters is like 2 weeks away, right? Everyone wants to bet on that. Tons of great betting opportunities. And of course, we are a fantasy football show, channel, website. You can do best ball drafts. And what better underdog story than drafting that late round, like Donovan Peoples-Jones last year, right? Would have been great for best ball, just the spike weeks, the big yardages, and you never know when to play him. But you can always be drafting on Underdog. So again, use the promo code GF2, like it says on the hat, for those watching on screen. By the way, if you're just listening to the audio, head over to the YouTube page, our Twitch page, our Facebook page, and you can check out the videos and come and interact with us in the comments, just like Jamie's doing. I just want to shout out Brian Ford here from this Dynasty Saturday Night 5.
Yes,
no, it's not Saturday here, but Dynasty both nights. We love talking Dynasty.
He finally gets to join us live for a show for a minute. You know, usually he's super busy on Wednesday night, so he doesn't ever get to join us live. He always messages us and like, hey, you know, great show, guys, whatever. But it's, you know, it's 4 hours after we ended the show, you know. So, Brian, good to see you, brother. Good to see Brian Ford in the chat.
Well, it also shout. I mean, like, I didn't watch the cheat sheet Tuesday. Like, I just finished watching that today. So I've actually already seen you today, Jay. It was just, you know, obviously 48-hour delay on that. But yeah, I love talking to Jay. So you can never get too much.
No, and the other, you know, I think where Kyle was going with this is go over to goingfortwo.com, check out the articles, check out the rankings that we have on there. There's a link in there for the free Discord, and as well as all the other shows on the Going for Two channel, YouTube channel. You know, I think we've got like a show just about every single night now, which is absolutely amazing. There's always something happening Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Maybe we take Sunday off. I don't even know.
I know Zach Kalowski might be doing shows on Sunday too. Yeah, so like that's, so there might be weeks where we get
7 days a week. I mean, it's going on. It's going on Going for Two. Let's get back into this. Brandon Cooks was traded to Dallas.
Gator, just what do you guys think of this comment by Jamie? I did put it up, but we didn't actually address it. 10th round. Now, I guess, is that Dynasty? Is that like best ball or
that would be my question. That's got to be a best ball, right? That's got to be best ball.
Because that's incredible value in Dynasty, I think. In best ball, that probably fits and makes sense. So let us know about that, Jamie. But we can keep talking about the trades because apparently this was, I know my recent Full Press Fantasy Pod episode, I call it the trade march because the month of March has just been trades everywhere.
Yeah, it has been crazy. Okay.
That makes proper value.
Right.
Wide receiver 5, yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Brandon Cooks was traded to Dallas. We know Dak can support 2 top 20 wide receivers. He's done it with Lamb and Cooper. Question with this one is
Allison Cooper. Or maybe not top 20, but they both had 120 targets.
Lamb and Cooper were both top 20 wide receivers is in fantasy. I don't think Gallup has ever been a top 20.
There was a year where I think both of them had like 115, 120 targets. Right. That's what I was thinking of. But you're right. Gallup didn't quite finish top 20. My mistake. Again, I'll stop interrupting the Gator before he chops my face off.
It's all good, baby. It's all love here on Going for Two and the Gambit. You know, for us, it's love in this room. So anyway, he can, we know he can do support 2 top 20 wide receivers with Cooper and Lamb. He's done it. New OC with basically Mike McCarthy calling plays now. No Zeke, at least right now. We talked about him earlier. There's still a possibility, I guess, that he could re-sign with Dallas, maybe. But as a dynasty manager, and I want to send this over to Brian first, and then Kyle, you can, as soon as Brian gets done, you jump right into it. But as a dynasty manager, what piece of this offense do you want or feel like you have to have, you know, and let's call it, let's say in a startup, what piece of this offense do you have to have? You're going into it. You know, you got this pick. This is where you're going this route. Brian.
I'm a little biased, but running backs are always a little bit harder to come by. And if Zeke stays where he should away, then I'm going to go with Tony Pollard, even though CeeDee Lamb would probably be a slam dunk answer for most.
Kyle,
is it the way to get around a restructure? Okay, we're cutting you, and then he doesn't like what the other offer, so we'll re-sign you to a cheaper offer. It's not quite a restructure; it's a new contract with some dead cap from an old one. But yeah, I don't see that happening. Apparently, Dallas isn't on Zeke's list, so it doesn't sound like he's interested in going there. Truthfully, so it's funny because one of the things, with the offensive coordinator hire, and then what Mike McCarthy said, he felt, even though I know Jacob Sanderson, I guess now your former co-host on the Fantasy Intervention, he's mentioned this, how Dallas was already kind of a middle of the pack, like run rate team. Like they weren't really a pass heavy team, but yet McCarthy seems to want, like he seems to get the impression that they were and really wants to reel it back. But I also wonder if that's gesturing to Jerry Jones, because he knew the plan this year was cut Zeke, sign another receiver, invest pieces into the passing game. So that's what the management's doing. So I almost wonder if that's more of he's talking to management when he's saying he wants to be more run heavy. So get me players that fit that more, and then it's not. So I think that maybe those initial fears with Dak, I think it's what it's done to me is it's kind of solidified it as Superflex startup, knowing how hard it is to get quarterbacks. If I'm sitting at that end of that first round, the top eight and Watson's gone, you can't get Chase and Jefferson. What's that next move? I know I'm in a startup where that next pick after is Bijan, but I think Dak to me is maybe the pick I'd rather have. And I think this solidifies it. The floor is not going to bottom out on it. He's going to have enough pass attempts. And with Cooks, maybe the upside on the deep passing will be there to help the touchdowns. And maybe his rushing floor that he used to have isn't quite there, but the fantasy ceiling, maybe not quite top five, but I think to maintain as a top 10 quarterback, I've got a bit more confidence in Dak right now because of this.
Yeah, and I do not disagree with you. I love the fact that you, because when I first posed this question, I was like, okay, they're gonna say a wide receiver or the running back or whatever. I was really hoping one of you, and thank you, Kyle, for doing that, was bring up Dak, because again, I led the question off. He's supported two top 20 wide receivers before, and at this point, I think that Dak can still be, like you said, a top 10. And it's showing even before the Cooks trade, he was going top 10, top 15, top 12. He was going in the first round of most startups, especially if it was Superflex. But even in most leagues, he was going not one QB, of course, but he was going in the top. So real quick, it's Dallas, I do want to hear – what about Daniel Bellinger with the and you know what? Screw it. I'm not going to even talk about Daniel Bellinger. Kyle, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to – I'm curious what you guys think, because part of why I didn't answer a receiver, like I didn't answer it was Cooks, mm-hmm. or I didn't say, oh, Cooks opens up more for Gallup, is who do you think's the wide receiver two on Dallas this year? Because I'm kind of torn between the two.
I'm going with Cooks because he provides a unique – area in terms of speed. Gallup is more similar to Lamb than is Cooks. So I'm going wide receiver two being Cooks.
The one thing I think this maybe helps Gallup is maybe he's better cast, because it seems like Dallas has tried to use him as the deep threat to stretch the offense. And now I wonder if he profiles more as an X receiver, or not X receiver, a Y receiver, whatever, the contested catch kind of guy that isn't going to be your deep threat all the time. I guess that is the X, right? Like the possession receiver, quote unquote.
Yeah, I still see Lamb as wide receiver one in the offense. I see Cook as being wide receiver two, but like you were saying, as the field stretcher, because you can, at least from what I have seen on tape, I don't watch a ton of Dallas games, but from what I see on tape, the CeeDee Lamb routes are very, very, very similar to the Gallup routes, right? So they're crossing. They're not deep shots for the most part. I mean, you'll get a deep shot here and there, but for the most part, they're the 7 yard ins, the 7 yard outs, the crossing patterns, the slants, that sort of thing. Whereas Cooks is going to stretch the field. What does that do? I think that opens it up for both Gallup and CeeDee Lamb.
I guess they kind of almost tried to change Gallup's role last year by replacing, like making Noah Brown the deep threat. Maybe that was because here's the thing with Gallup. I think like he is right now at 13 months removed from his ACL mm-hmm. surgery, because I believe it was delayed on his injury in the 2021 playoffs or end of the regular season. Right. And it got delayed until after the Super Bowl. So he's like, this is now when he should be starting to come back and feel like normal Michael Gallup again. So I also think, not to overreact to last year how bad he was, thinking that he'll be a lot better this year. But again, I think I agree. If I had to bet on one for just this season alone, I think I would go Cooks. And because of that, they're both at a range where Gallup's just slightly younger than Cooks, to the point where in Dynasty, if I think Cooks will be the better fantasy producer and score more points, I'm going to rank him ahead in Dynasty. So I'd agree with that. The higher upside on his role as the deep threat on the team might give him like the higher weekly ceiling. And I think at where you're probably drafting him, you're probably shooting for upside.
Yeah. All right. So you got something else, Brian? Go ahead.
Yeah. The biggest question, and I just want to throw it out there, is the tight end room. I mean, Dallas over the last couple of years has been pretty successful with Jarwin and Schultz. So are they going to go with Jake Ferguson, or are they, maybe there's a move out there we haven't seen yet?
Yeah, I mean, look, you had Schultz on the team last year, and it looks like they used Hendershot a good bit, you know, later in this season. So we got that on the show sheet. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, but it's going to be interesting what they do in Dallas with the tight end position. There are still some free agent tight ends that have not signed yet as well, which is kind of crazy, but let's get your swim trunks on, guys. Let's go dive into this free agent signings. We had Dalton Schultz, who we just talked about. He signs with the Texans. He was tight end 3 2 years ago, tight end 11 last year with Dallas, with a rookie quarterback. And we all know how rookie quarterbacks love to use their tight ends. What do you expect from Schultz in Houston in 2023, Brian?
I guess the question off the top of my head is their rookie a week one starter, or is there still a chance Davis Mills starts the beginning of the year?
Okay, let's put it like this. If you draft C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young or Anthony Richardson or Will Levis, I don't care which one they draft, is he better right now than Davis Mills?
I think they're completely replacing Davis Mills. Didn't they sign Case Keenum?
Who?
Yeah, you're right.
Whoever Houston.
But like, I agree. I think. Assuming it's Bryce Young, I think Bryce Young starting week one. Richardson's maybe the only one who, because of his lack of experience, he might need to sit. I know you've talked about this, Jay. He might need to sit. Like, he'd be the one where that's why they took Case Keenum, to kind of be that bridge guy for a year. They'll run it with Davis Mills again, but I don't think they're taking Richardson. I think they want, because they've already run the bridge thing with Mills once, right? And I think they want the guy they can start right away. So of the three teams that we think are going to potentially take Richardson between Carolina, Houston, and Indianapolis, I'd say Houston probably has the least chance to go with Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, and to be quite honest, I think Carolina is out on the Richardson stuff. I think it is absolutely C.J. Stroud won the first pick overall. I think it's more likely.
That would be my guess, too.
Yeah,
I think it's more likely Young, too. It seems like that's what a lot of the mocks are leaning towards. So,
yeah, I think it's more likely at four, Indy takes him. What I would love is to see five, Seattle take him, where you've got Geno in front of him. He can sit for a year, learn the system, practice, you know, learn, get his footwork right. Or even possibly, I want to say, what is Detroit at seven? So those are the two that I would like him to go to. Again, just thinking fantasy value, thinking long-term for him. This dude has got a ceiling that is out of any building that's ever been built. It's just amazing. So that is what it is. Damian Harris signs with Buffalo. Question for you is this just a depth signing, or are the James Cook managers and truthers all up in their emotions over this?
The truth is, like, the Bills, they're constantly running a committee. Doesn't seem like, other than that one stretch at the end of 2021 where they really didn't have anyone else because Moss was either hurt or was playing so poorly that they had to give it to Singletary. But I think the Bills would prefer not to make anyone a true workhorse. Now, what I think will change this year is I think James Cook is now the lead guy, as opposed to last year. Like, he was still behind Singletary. Like, Singletary was starting every game, was still playing more snaps in most games. Towards the end of the season, it got closer. But I think James Cook is now the leader. Is Damian Harris a threat? I'm almost wondering, like, do the Bills draft a running back, and that's the bigger threat to James Cook? But I don't know. I mean, do they take Bijan in the first round? That's probably, like, otherwise whoever they take will be later draft capital than what they spent on Cook. So, you know, I think Brian's saying this here, like, it's a good signing for Cook. Just talk about the skill set with overlap, less skill set overlap with Harris than there was with Singletary. Because I mean, Harris doesn't really the pass catching ability, right? Like, James Cook is probably going to be on the field for most third downs, and with how pass heavy the Bills are, that's the guy you kind of really want, which is the appeal with Singletary last year. So, it's a good sign for Cook. And I'm more worried about an incoming rookie than I am with Damian Harris. And if that, especially that incoming rookie is Bijan Robinson, but for some reason, I think either Bijan goes before the Bills pick, or they decide not to take him. but I'm kind of leaning on Bijan's going before. They think they pick 27th, 26th. And I think the Bills go before that. I think Bijan goes before that.
Brian?
I think Harris will have some run. From things that I'm hearing across the net, he is a possibility for a lot of the first and second out carries, but I see that Cooks definitely will be on the field on all third downs. And like Kyle was saying, that's an important role for Buffalo because it's such a good passing team. But I don't, if I was drafting, I wouldn't consider either one of them a top 10 back. I mean, I think Cooks is Cook is a great dynasty asset, but I don't think this next year is going to be his year.
Yeah, even top 20 for Cook is stretching it. I think I've kind of got him kind of like right on that 20 borderline without having any rookies, of course, in the
range. He's a true flex play for the most part, right? So Chase Edmonds signs in Tampa. And in my opinion, no matter whether it's Kyle Trask, Baker Mayfield, whoever the Bucs have up under center, it's going to be
defensive-minded head coach, right? They've got Todd Bowles as a head coach, new offensive coordinator. Let's run the football.
Yeah,
establish that run.
They're not going to be passing the ball like they did the last 3 years. So question for you is, does Edmonds help or does he hurt Rashad White's value?
We'll get back to that in a sec, Brian. That's a really interesting thought. I guess it's funny because it's the same thought as the Bills. Like and especially with Chase Edmonds, I'm much more worried. And I think with White is because he was a third round pick. So the Bucks could in theory take a guy in the second round and it's okay. That's more draft capital that we spent on White. So I'm more worried about a rookie coming in. I don't know. I've never been a big Chase Edmonds fan. And I think the one thing is they both have similar skill sets in that, you know, good in space, good pass catchers. In a sense, I really like it because this doesn't take away Rashad White's touchdown upside, as limited as it is in this awful offense. I would imagine he gets the first crack at being the goal line guy because Chase Edmonds has never done that in his career. Like that's very few inside the five opportunities. Most of his red zone touches have actually been receptions. So that's, yeah, I think, I don't know. I think Rashad White's just the better version of what Chase Edmonds is.
And what just to add on to that, as a Bucs fan, I actually like this move because I think you take Rashad White, like you said, Rashad White and Edmonds both have a very, very, very similar skill set, and you're adding a veteran to teach him the way to do it.
And I agree wholeheartedly with Brian. This is the worst time of year to sell running backs because you know their value might peak during the season, but yeah, Rashad, like the guys you think might be at risk of a rookie are the ones to sell right now. And I think Rashad White, one of my more highly rostered running backs, someone that I have been in a couple leagues trying to sell unsuccessfully thus far, but going to keep trying.
Yep. You're not going to sell him to Brian or myself or Brian Ford, by the way. you're not getting that one done. Let's go back to this real quick. Galaxy brain take here. Harris takes TDs from Allen. Allen's floor and ceiling are affected. Is Allen a sell? And you know, we're not talking about Davis Allen. We're talking about Josh Allen.
Oh, not Kyle Allen. Okay.
Not Kyle Allen.
Yeah.
Brian, what do you think about this?
God, I just can't imagine Josh Allen being a sell. But that being said, is his value ever – I mean, is it going to increase? So I don't know. I guess the true definition of a sell, you could. But I would bite my arm off if I had to.
Well, Kyle, so if you have Allen, what are you going to get for him? I mean,
that's funny because I'm glad you asked, because that's exactly how I was going to pose my answer. Is if you're selling, and this goes for any top, I'll say top nine quarterback. I'll include Watson, but I could understand. Okay, Watson, Lamar. There's little, you know, maybe there's enough things scaring you with both of them that okay, maybe I go out of that top eight, top nine range. Like you know, I'll go back to a Dak. I'll go back to a Tua. And get extra value, but if I've got one of those top seven quarterbacks, which Allen is clearly inside, I'm not trading them unless I'm getting another top seven quarterback back. So, am I tearing up from Josh Allen to Patrick Mahomes if it's super cheap? Sure, I'll do that. Am I getting like is the Jalen Hurts manager going to give you anything for Josh Allen? Probably not. Like you know, Herbert coming off the bad season, that might be the best opportunity where you can sell Josh Allen for a high upside player like Justin Herbert and probably get something in return. So you've got that one specific manager who has Herbert that you might be able to get that sweetheart deal. That is, you still get the quarterback, but enough back to make you worthy of selling Josh Allen. So I'm willing to do it, but they have to be very specific teams, quarterbacks that I'm getting back for it. So
I don't want to linger on it too long, but this trade just happened about 2 hours ago in one of my leagues, and it is an IDP league, which I know Kyle and myself love an IDP league. So Josh Allen and Isaiah Simmons for Patrick Mahomes in a 24 second. So just to give you a heads up, it is possible, but you're going to be giving up a top tier quarterback as well.
Well, my first thing is, you know, you would know the league, like how often are IDP players being taken as rookies? Because then I'm looking at that face value.
Well, this is a full IDP where it's three defensive linemen, three linebackers, four defenses. So it's a full IDP. So you're basically starting a 22-man roster other than the offensive line, defensive line.
Now, the one thing I will say, though, is because of that, if there's enough defensive players, it also increases the value of the rookie picks, though. Mm-hmm. So as long as you think you can find enough defensive depth, and I don't know, as and you know this better, this is your league, Jay. Have you ever been worried that on any given week you can't just find a streamer at any defensive position?
No, but again, it's a super deep league, but it's one of those leagues where you have whatever it is, 32 people on your bench, you know, offensively and defensively. Okay. So it's a super deep league. So there's still a ton of people on the waiver wire. But it's also one of those, you know, again, it's an IDP league, so you won't think the top of the top of the top in the IDP because it is a super high scoring IDP. It's set to where it's equal, right?
So
it's not one of those I'm go take 20 wide receivers because they're beating everybody on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I've got the biggest like heavy IDP league I have is start six, but it's divided. It's not into like I guess is yours just three linemen, three linebackers, three defensive backs,
and then we also have IDP flex as well.
Okay, so mine's just that, but just two instead. So and no flexes, so just six. And it's a salary cap contract league, so that obviously complicates things. And I won the league this year, and honestly, like, I think I had three defensive players rostered for like the entire season, and like the other half of my IDP players on every given week, I'm playing the matchups. I'm playing the waiver wires, but we don't have 30 man benches. So like much shallower because of that, but that league has weekly contracts, which is something new to me for salary cap contract leagues. In this CDFF format, shout out to James Vecchio for creating and commissioning these leagues. But I decided this year, I felt like I spent way too much money in the first year in 2021 in the auction on IDP players. I think, who was it? Panthers safety, what's his name? Can't think of his name. Anyway, I he was like my third or fourth highest, big, most expensive player after the startup, and I kind of quickly realized, okay, I don't need to be spending this much money on IDP players. These weekly contracts, I can just pick up guys. So I've kind of cut all the big contracts. The three I have left are like Khalil Mack, Eric Kendricks, and who's the other? Someone else, but they're all like $1, $2, $3 per year, like they're super cheap. Guys that I can bodies I can fill spots in the regular season, maybe not guys I want to play in the playoffs, but
right.
And that worked. I won the league, and I think a big part of it was I was just chasing the matchups. But again, it's knowing the context of how deep those IDP players go. I guess so Isaiah Simmons, I guess it depends on how the points are distributed, but he puts up a lot of tackles, right? So I'm guessing he's going to be like an every week starter in terms of an IDP player,
right? And I think in the IDP leagues, you're going to find somebody in that second round. Again, this is 2025, so it's moved back, you know, two full draft years, basically. You're going to find somebody in that second round. Or, again, it's a pick. You can use that to get more capital or for another player as well. Guys, I've got about 10 more minutes for me personally, so I want to get through. I got two of them that I want to get to. So I'm going to get to David Montgomery staying in the NFC North, signing with Detroit. For Lions fans and NFL fans in general, I absolutely love this move. As a fantasy manager, I'm sorry, Jeff, I effing hate this. Montgomery has, you know, he's had over 200 carries, averaging 48 and a half targets per year in all 4 years in Chicago. What are we doing with Swift now? Brian, can you help me? What am I going to do with Swift? Or am I just stuck? I've got nothing. I can't trade him.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably pretty much stuck. I mean, if you, like you said, if you try to sell him, you're not going to get his value. So, you know, you just have to see how things pan out, I think, at this point in time.
Kyle?
Yeah, I think, like, right now I still have him inside the top 20 running backs, but he's fallen outside the RB1 range. And once we add the rookies in, I don't know, I could see him potentially being outside the top 20 in terms of the dynasty running back ranking. So, yeah, those, I know you've talked about that. If I should have traded you him away
for a first. I offered in the you a league. First.
Yeah, I'm still, yeah.
Yep, you can't have it now.
Well, yeah.
No. Perfect segue, though, because the Saints have made a few moves. They signed Jamal Williams and Derek Carr. I love the signing for Chris Olave. The Derek Carr signing for Chris Olave, I think, is phenomenal. You look at last year with Dalton and Taysom Hill at quarterback. Olave had over 1,000 yards, ADOT of 14.9 per PFF. Just a comparison, though, real quick. Adams out there in Raider land, 1,516 yards, and ADOT 2 full yards less, and we saw the deep shots, multiple deep shots in games, and he still averaged two full yards less on an ADOT with Carr as his quarterback. Brian, what do you think of this signing with Carr and Jamal Williams going to NOLA?
Well, I think you should also keep in mind, I don't know if he's got anything left in the tank, but Michael Thomas re-signed as well. So I think overall...
Leave it to Brian to bring up Michael Thomas.
Hey, you have to. he may still be a thing. We don't know yet. But, yeah, I mean, definitely don't know what's going on with Kamara. So Jamal Williams may get some run. But even if Kamara's there, Jamal Williams did quite well with Detroit. Overall, it improves the offense, and the team has more chances to win. So I like the whole moves, all the moves they made there.
The Saints, this pipeline of, like, one wide receiver to the next is incredible. And if, like, the trajectory continues, like, how high is Olave going to go? Because they went from Kenny Stills to, like, Brandon Cooks the next year. And then, oh, wow, this rookie's coming in and is doing amazing. Then they draft Michael Thomas next. Oh, wow, this rookie's coming in doing amazing. And then, you know, a couple of years pass, and then Olave comes in, and it's, wow, what a rookie season, right? And, I mean, Michael Thomas was the wide receiver one at one point. So does that mean Chris Olave is going to be the wide receiver one at some year? Probably not. But the one thing I do like about Carr is that he will over-target, maybe not even over-target, because you should be hyper-targeting your top targets. But he definitely does that, whether it's – I mean, he did that when it was Crabtree. Again, the Waller in 2020 had a ton of targets. I think he had like 150 targets. Adams last year, he didn't – like, I think he had over 160 targets, just like he did the previous year in Green Bay. So, like, he didn't lose that. So, Olave, to me, still remains a target hog, still a top 15 wide receiver in Dynasty. I mean, it's – Carr is, I mean, I guess if you look at PFF grades, Carr is not better than Andy Dalton, but I think Derek Carr is better than Andy Dalton. It's not Aaron Rodgers. Like, he's not getting an elite upgrade, but it's certainly, it could have been worse considering how, like, we didn't, like, it could have been Taysom Hill throwing him passes. Like, that's not really good.
Right.
But yeah, Carr gives him a long-term stability, it seems like, at the very least. It's not going to be a year-to-year.
The way his contract structured, it's structured for two. He's got the dead years or whatever they want to call them on the end of his contract. I want to give the Saints a shout-out right quick, at least their medical staff, because, you know, unfortunately, Foster Moreau was there visiting, and they found out that he has Hodgkin's lymphoma. He is stepping away. As a fantasy manager, you know, he wasn't as impactful in the fantasy industry, but he's still a human being. So give it up to the Saints right there, their medical staff, for at least finding that. And I honestly think with Carr and then, of course, the Foster Moreau situation, I think it's it's going to be Juwan Johnson's season. We saw Derek Carr hyper target when healthy Darren Waller. And I think this can help not only Chris Olave with having that, even if Michael Thomas is there or not, but having that underneath, you know, Juwan Johnson there. I think that might be a sneaky, sneaky little pickup. You could probably get him in startups. You could probably get him in like the 9th, 10th, 11th round, somewhere in that range.
Maybe even later, depending. Yeah.
Right.
And it's funny because at first I was thinking, oh, but it's Johnson Waller. But I think the comparison is actually apt because I think they're both kind of, you know, converted wide receivers.
Yep.
And, you know, late bloomer, especially for Waller. So, you know, for Johnson, he's been in the league a couple of years and again, a 2-year contract alongside Carr, getting with him at this, I think it's a 2-year extension he got with the Saints. So, yeah, I think top 20 dynasty tight end for me.
There you go.
I think I had him ranked there before anyway, but yeah, I might, you know, like Mike Gesicki, for instance, who just signed with the Patriots. Would you rather have Juwan Johnson or Mike Gesicki?
Oh, Juwan Johnson for sure, because of the situation. I mean, if for instance, if Tom Brady was still in New England, right? I mean, what are we talking about? It's Gesicki all day, right? But you look at the situation, it's Mac Jones. Mac Jones, at least in my opinion, still wants to push the ball down the field.
Whether Juwan Johnson as a tight end can maybe allow that more than most tight ends because of, again, converted receiver fast enough that he could be sort of a push down the field type of weapon.
The other side of that coin is...
Sorry, Gesicki, I mean,
I was going to say, other side of that coin, though, is you just got Juju, who is going to take up some of those underneath targets from Gesicki. That's what Juju does. He runs the 7-8 route, or 7-9 route, or doesn't run the 7-9 route at all. He doesn't run either one of them.
Yeah, playing in the slot, playing over the middle. Yeah,
his route tree is like 5 yards and hit me. Right,
so you'll probably replace Jacoby Myers' role last year for sure.
Yeah.
I guess even just looking at the tight end position, right? Hunter Henry being there complicates things for Gesicki, I think, a lot more than Adam Trautman does for Juwan Johnson. I think at this point we've been waiting for Trautman, but I think Juwan Johnson last year, because there was a couple games where he was a healthy scratch, Trautman. So I think Juwan Johnson has completely surpassed him as I'm the clear number one tight end. I mean, unless you count Taysom Hill. But yeah, I think the further we get away from Sean Payton, I think the further we get away from the Saints heavily relying on Taysom Hill. I think especially because now they have their more solid quarterback. To be fair, I mean, Taysom Hill threw 19 passes last year and he didn't really catch any passes. Like, he was just an extra run. He was like a fullback. Not with a fullback body, but that's basically what he is.
He was a running back that took the ball from under center. Guys, I have to jump off here shortly, but I want to leave you two with this question. I'm gonna feed you this question, and I will see it tomorrow as soon as I jump on. Jimmy G and Jacoby Myers both signed with the Raiders. Did the Patriots just move west? Guys, have a great night. I want to hear the answer to this question. Everybody in the chat, Brian Ford, Jamie, love you guys. Enjoy.
Bye, Gator.
For Kyle. See you there, Brian. Love
Bye,
you guys.
Gator. Take care.
All right. Boss is gone. We take over, Brian.
Hey, here we go. So I want to take the Raiders. And
Boss is back. Let's go back.
My first question for this is going to be, we were talking about tight ends and Raiders. We just talked about Moreau. We just talked about Waller. Who is their tight end now?
They just signed two tight ends. I know O.J. Howard was one. There was another one, too. I'm pulling that up right now. Austin Hooper. I haven't seen O.J. Howard's contracts, but Austin Hooper signed a one-year, $3.5 million contract, which is not that far off. I guess New England West is treating contracts similar, because that's basically what Gesicki got from the Patriots. 1 year, $4.5 million instead of $3.5 million. That extra $1 million for Gesicki, probably that extra athleticism. Okay, well, you get that $1 million more, but I don't know. Between Hooper and Howard, like, I don't know how do you distinguish? Like, is there a tight end one there even?
I'm going Hooper. He was pretty successful with the Titans last year at times. So I'd have to go Hooper. Howard's always been that guy in the rough, that diamond in the rough that has one or two good games, and then he goes and disappears for the rest of the season. So for consistency's sake alone, I'll go with Hooper.
Yeah, I don't know that you're even going to get much consistency from Hooper, but I'll agree that that would be the one I'd rather draft. I think they're both basically boom or bust just because of how many targets Adams, and I guess answering Gator's question, Jacoby Myers comes. And I think the biggest complication is Myers or Hunter Renfrow, because they do seem like similar receivers. Now, this move, Josh McDaniels reuniting with Myers, kind of makes me think McDaniels thinks Myers is better than Renfrow. And that might be all that matters in terms of playing time and ultimately production. Whether we think Myers is more talented than Renfrow is probably irrelevant to what McDaniels thinks. So my first inclination was, okay, this isn't a great spot for Myers, but I'm kind of, you know, Waller being traded, maybe Renfrow will be phased out. I'm kind of buying into, okay, Myers might be able to get 100, 110, maybe even 120 targets like he had with the Patriots. I believe Mac Jones' rookie season, he had over 120 targets. I don't think he quite gets there with Adams on the same team, but 100 targets, I think, is certainly feasible for Myers.
Well, my big thing here, not that Jimmy G is great, but I think at this point in their career, he's better than Mac Jones if he can stay healthy. And so, in some ways, Myers has not been – I mean, I'm not a huge Myers fan to begin with, but that being said, I think in New England, having to be the alpha receiver was not his cup of tea. So I think he could actually benefit from being more of a secondary receiver to Adams that opens up the field a little bit more. So I don't mind the move at all. I think it actually benefits him.
It's funny because it brings me back to a trade that's not on our show sheet. And I think it happened the day after our last episode. So we didn't talk about it, but DJ Moore getting traded to Carolina, I think does help Darnell Mooney in that same principle. Like it's similar role to Myers as a slot receiver. They can't be the one that carries the offense. If the defense is just focusing in on them, they'll clog the middle, they'll take away everything. And there's, the whole offense ceases to operate. You need that main threat on the outside to open things up over the middle for guys like Mooney and Myers. So in that sense, it's a good fit for Myers' landing spot there, not going to somewhere where, again, maybe he's being force-fed as the top target. He did seem to make it work in New England. The touchdowns weren't always there, but, solid floor. And I could see maybe that being the same thing. Like, Myers is probably not giving you too many, 20-point weeks, but he'll get you close to double-digit on most weeks, I think.
I really like Mooney this year as well. I'm a Mooney owner. And, he battled injuries last year, and he battled trying to be, once again, the wide receiver one. Now that he's got more, I think he'll benefit just as much. I think more so, actually, than even Myers. I think if I had to draft him, I'm going Mooney over Myers, but that's just me.
So, okay, so Mooney and Myers, though, the wide receiver two is on their team, clearly, with the, Adams and MJ Moore. And then that, and I think I would agree with both of them that Claypool and Renfrow are the wide receiver three on both their respective teams. I think I probably do like Claypool to a certain extent more in the touchdown upside, especially that, what if the Bears can use him as the Steelers kind of creatively used him, that's not all going to be from Justin Fields' arm, because you can't always rely on that, heavy touchdown numbers there. A bit what we were talking about with Darren Waller and Daniel Jones, how much the teams, whether it's the running backs or the quarterbacks themselves, can run and get those touchdowns. So for the Bears, maybe part of that rushing touchdowns is Chase Claypool. So he might have the if it's best ball, I might prefer to go Claypool over Mooney because he might have more spike weeks. But setting lineups every week, I want to chase the targets, and I feel like Mooney's going to have more targets than Claypool. So we hacked the show, Gator. We took a chat topic that wasn't on the show sheet. I guess the one thing I want to say about Garoppolo, in that it's funny because Full Press Raiders Manginator Terry Biggs, again, I'm with Full Press coverage, so shout out to that family that I support. But he was pretty excited about Garoppolo, and I think for him, though, it's not really much of a statistic or fantasy thing. It's the playoff success, right? I mean, he's brought a team to a Super Bowl. He has multiple playoff wins. Derek Carr has zero. So I think more than the stats, Garoppolo, better yards per attempt. Although he's kind of always been there, the highest, higher in the league, over average. But also, so few attempts, is that going to maintain with higher volume? I'd imagine Garoppolo has a career high in passing attempts. I actually want to look that up. I don't even know what that is, but I would imagine, and this is probably the worst defense he's ever played on, right?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm. Has he even thrown like 550 attempts in a season? I would say no. I'm gonna look this up.
You're probably right.
He's never even thrown 500 attempts. 476 in 2019. Wow. Now, that's his literally his only fully healthy season where he played all every game. He did have 441 in a 15 game season in 2021. But yeah, I think he eclipses 500 passing yards and might be his best fantasy season just because of volume, not necessarily efficiency. Obviously, throwing to Davante Adams is great. I think as great, I mean, he's had some talented receivers, but this probably is the best receiver he's ever thrown to.
Oh, I'm sure. And then if you think about it, getting to 500 would only be, what, 16 games at 32 pass attempts or something like that? So you're not
asking. Yeah, it's an extra three pass attempts per game, right? Yeah. He might hit 550 if the Raiders are forced to throw that much. Like, how much did Carr throw last year? I felt like it was not quite 600, but yeah, as a team they had 586 pass attempts. So maybe Garoppolo doesn't quite reach that, but I think it'll be certainly a career high.
I thought it after for 550 probably.
550 does seem attainable and reasonable, even if he hasn't quite come close to that yet. But yeah, different team context, of course.
Exactly. And he's got a chance to be successful. I like some of the moves he made.
Yeah. I mean, losing Waller does hurt, but gaining Myers, that's targets over the middle. I guess in the aggregate with the tight ends, they're not spending a lot, but they've got the bodies at tight end to kind of make that work. Yeah, no, I can dig it too.
What may happen here is with the tight ends' success, dropping that both Renfro and Myers may be bigger parts than we expect.
Yeah, they're not running two tight end sets if they have to put both OJ Howard and Austin Hooper on the field, right? Like they're going to go into those three wide receiver sets, which to be fair, fairly common with the 49ers. So something Garoppolo is used to, having the more spread out offense, always having the slot receiver on the field. Considering Myers' skill set and them coveting him, you'd imagine they want to play him in the slot as much as possible, which means you probably need three wide receivers on the field as much as possible. I don't know. Can Renfro thrive as that outside guy, or do they need another piece? I guess, is Mac Hollins still under contract?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up too. Man, the live show research, right?
Yeah, well, exactly. We have to have some on-air research for sure, but if Hollins is still with the team, he had some good success last year.
Oh, he signed with Atlanta. That's right. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, Mark Hollins isn't there. So yeah, so that might be their one. Maybe the Raiders, draft a receiver, and as a rookie, they come in and, they play the Jameson Williams role, where they're out there and they catch one pass all season.
One thing I was looking at today, it was really an active free agency period. I was, there's a lot of under the radar type moves like that one there just a pretty busy year this year.
A couple running backs at the end too. Devin Singletary with the Houston Texans, Ronald Jones with the Dallas Cowboys. Do you have much faith in either of those players moving to Texas?
I think I prefer Devin Singletary here, but I'm a little bit more of a Devin Singletary fan.
It's funny because something Brian said earlier, I wanted to bring it up back in this section, Malik Davis season, right? Like Ronald Jones being signed by the Cowboys, I don't think does anything to Tony Pollard. Again, I've said this twice already. Tony Pollard's biggest threat is them drafting a rookie. And again, they might be the team that takes Bijan, but that, I think that's the bigger threat to Tony Pollard. To me, them signing Ronald Jones means I think Malik Davis is the backup running back of the Cowboys and not Ronald Jones.
Ronald Jones just sounds like another healthy scratch to me.
Yeah. Or he's the third guy. He's the third guy that, well, hope he can learn to play special teams eventually. I don't think he does. So Singletary and Pierce.
Pretty much all year. So
you're saying you're obviously like Singletary more than Jones, but like, do you think he usurps Pierce as the lead back for the Texans? Like, how do you think that backfield will look?
Oh, Pierce is still the lead back, but you're hoping if you're a Singletary owner that you might get 12 touches from him per game or something. But I still think that definitely Pierce is RB1. But the thing about the Texans also, regardless of who their quarterback they select, if he starts week one, I think there'll be more of a run. We talked about the tight ends earlier. I think it's going to be a more running back heavy, more rushing attack heavy this year. So there might be an opportunity for both Pierce and Singletary to be successful.
Rookie quarterback, right? You want to give him a run game to kind of lean on and not put it all on his shoulders.
They got rid of Cooks, but they added one wide receiver in free agency, but I'm forgetting who it was.
It was Noah Brown.
Noah Brown. Yeah, I saw that.
And Robert Woods, actually. That happened Robert kind Woods, of.
I was thinking
he
that.
Was cut earlier so that he was able to sign before the free agency period. So that was kind of one of the earlier free agent signings and team changes. But yeah, I mean, right now, I think Nico Collins is the wide receiver one on the team, which to me, like, they're pretty primed. Well, I said this earlier. I think they'll take a wide receiver with the 12th pick, and they're taking their franchise quarterback, and they'll pair him with their franchise receiver with the very next pick, just 11 picks later.
Yeah, that's one was going to be my question to you. I do think that it's Collins right now as wide receiver one. So, you know, heading into his third year, he'd be a guy that I'd kind of want to draft late if I could in a startup.
Yeah, I'd draft him over every other receiver on the Texans, redraft or dynasty, for sure. And right now, and obviously tight end, because that's not a team you ever really want to invest the tight end in. I guess the one thing for Pierce is that Singletary is a better running back than anyone he had to compete with last year. So he might lose carries, but I think especially he loses a lot in the passing game, which, I mean, loses a lot. I think he had 30 receptions last year. I don't see him going over that. Like, I don't think he's going to expand his receiving role as a second-year player. He might be able to maintain that, right around 40 targets, I think. But he probably maxes out there. So I don't love it for Pierce. I don't necessarily hate it either. Like, I agree with you. Like, if I'm having to take one in Dynasty, I'll take the second-year guy still in his rookie contract as opposed to the second contract running back that got $3.5 million over 1 year. So, yeah. But it's not an awful spot for Singletary. I think I would have preferred if he had stayed with Buffalo. But if he was going to leave Buffalo, there probably weren't any other places. He's probably buried clearly as a backup, where this might end up being almost a 50-50 committee.
Yeah, it could be. I think it's a wash effect on Pierce. I don't think it's positive or negative, like you said. And Singletary will come out okay. I wouldn't mind him still having him for bench depth. Near the end of the year in bigger leagues, like a 14-team league, I had to start him pretty consistently. I don't know that I'll start him at the beginning of the year right now. But
yeah, no, for sure. You wait to see what the role develops in. And Buffalo was a great offense because of how many points they scored. That's the bit of the hesitation with Houston here. So, Jamie, and I don't love this name, right? Like, it's not as creative. Fat Lenny. You know, his last name starts with an F. Could we not do Leonard Fatnet? Leonard Board Fat. I don't know. Like, there feels like there's better ways to make puns with it, but apparently I said both of them out loud and neither sounded great. So maybe Fat Lenny just rolls off the tongue better. But where will he go? Where do you think Leonard Fournette ends up signing?
Oh, God. Could he go to the Bengals?
Ah, yeah. You get the first running back taken in the 2017 draft. And the guy that before his assault on a poor innocent person was maybe expected to be the first running back taken in that draft. So that'd be funny that they both end up together on the Bengals. Yeah, no, that's interesting, right? If Zeke rejects the Bengals, no P. Ryan right now, they could use a backup running back. One thing that appealed to me about the Jets landing spot for Zeke is same thing we talked about a couple weeks ago when I was talking about my Breece Hall, or I guess you weren't on the show, Brian. So I could ask you this. I traded my last Breece Hall share away. And part of it is to, you know, the torn ACL guy, especially a running back. Like, I don't have any Javonte Williams, no Breece Hall. I've got one Kyler Murray share left. Obviously, that's not a running back. But the idea of those torn ACL guys that feel like they're going to miss time this season, I kind of want to avoid feeling like there's buy win opportunities maybe later. So if Breece Hall doesn't start the seat, maybe he starts the season on the PUP list, or he is inactive the first couple weeks. Fournette goes to the Jets. He's in line for at least, for a couple game stretch to get some opportunity, and maybe that there's some high value leverage in a couple of key spot start games for Fournette. So the Jets might be the most appealing spot for that. Or he follows P. Ryan to the Broncos with the same principle of, who's replacing Javonte Williams early in the season.
And that's kind of could be the ironic thing for semi-fat Zeke, is that he names his list of teams, and those teams decide they can get Fournette instead, maybe cheaper. So Maybe he's named his teams where Fournette's going to go.
Which fourth overall running back do we want?
Exactly.
Who's cheaper? That's the only thing that matters there is who's cheaper between the two.
I mean, I would go with the cheaper of the two. Neither, they're both equally in shape. So
I think they do a lot of things like Fournette's always been, it's funny because we keep calling him Fat Lenny, but his thing was always his speed, right? And I guess he's kind of lost that a little bit. But neither are like receiver-like pass catchers, but they both catch so many passes just because the sheer volume of plays they play. Like they're dump off options to the max. Like they're not running routes downfield to get those receptions. Everything's a dump off. So, in a sense, that'd be good with the Jets. With, you know, if Aaron Rodgers does in fact get traded there, do we have that news yet? Seems like we've been waiting for, I was gonna say 2 weeks, but maybe 2 years for that announcement. So,
yeah, exactly. Totally agree.
For any hockey fans, this does kind of feel like the Jacob Chychrun thing, where, you know, obviously Green Bay is a way better team than the Arizona Coyotes. Oh, yeah.
But still, it's, I mean, is it really going to ever get done, this deal? I don't know. It seems inevitable, but the longer it goes on, I don't know if it's going to actually happen. So.
It's funny because I did want to actually talk to Gator about this because he feels like the Packers have no leverage at all. And while I do think there is a sizable amount of leverage on the Jets' side, Rodgers has already stated he wants to play for them, the contract. The Packers can save money by trading Rodgers and any other scenario. I mean, they're either keeping him and eating his entire contract, or they, if they have to cut him or he retires, they actually lose cap space. So like their only way out really is to trade him. And the Jets know that, but here's the thing though, quarterback's the most important position in football. And if the Jets don't trade for Aaron Rodgers, who is their quarterback going to be? Because at this point, as much as there's bad, you know, blood between the Packers and Rodgers, I think there's just as much, if not more, between Zach Wilson and the Jets. Like they've publicly gone out of their way to go for other players so much that I don't think there's any way that you can go into this season with Zach Wilson as the starter. Like if an injury happens and he has to start games this year, I think that's reasonable, but I don't think you can go in and say we're entering training camp and he's locked in as the starter. Like,
and Mike White went somewhere,
Miami. Division rival. And I thought that was their one way out, was could they get Mike White cheap? But like even all the cheap, even Kyle Allen's gone. Like, can we just get Kyle out? No, that would, okay. At that point, you'd rather stick with Zach Wilson.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't put it on the show sheet. There's a lot of inexpensive quarterbacks, like, or not necessarily inexpensive, but ineffective quarterbacks like Sam Darnold went somewhere too already.
49ers. Because who knows who's starting in San Francisco this year? Maybe all three of them will get starts. I was just thinking, Ryan, If the Jets are stuck, do they sign Matt Ryan and start Matt Ryan over Zach Wilson week one?
I would. Wouldn't you?
See, I think I wouldn't. I think at that point, let's try and develop Zach Wilson, because I think Matt Ryan is washed. But to your point, Brian, they might do that. They might be just so desperate to not start Zach Wilson that they'll do something completely stupid, like sign Matt Ryan right now and start him.
The one thing I don't know enough about is the offensive line with the Jets versus that of the Colts, because that was one thing. Ryan's arm may be shot, but his legs didn't help him when he couldn't run away from all the pass, the lack of pass protection. So,
hey, you see, I think I know, like, Mekhi Becton got hurt last year. The Jets, he's their starting left tackle. So I'm just going to check out Football Outsiders. Oh, wait, I have it right here. I have it saved. Yeah, I'm smart, so I don't have to search it up. Where are the offensive line metrics? I'm just going to look at that, like where the Jets finished, but I felt like they were above average compared to the Colts. I know the Colts 22nd in adjusted line yards, so the run blocking grade, and 28th in adjusted sack rate. So, yeah, definitely down there. The Jets are, actually, the Jets were the worst run blocking team last year. 32nd, wow. But they were only 17th in adjusted sack rate. So they're kind of, you know, from Matt Ryan's perspective, the pass protection, they're middle of the pack as opposed to the Colts, who were one of the worst pass protection teams last year. Sacks on 9.2% of dropbacks.
Ryan's not good, but may have a little bit more left than Zach Wilson. So,
well, I think Zach Wilson's got a lot left. It's just, I think he's got all the talent in the world, but it's the mental side, right? Like seems like he needs to grow up and mature a little bit to be quarterback, which is so, you know, football IQ, situational awareness. Like it's such a mental game that, you know, some, And we've been spoiled with how many quarterbacks come in and get it right away. But to a certain extent, like Burrow wasn't great as a rookie. Lawrence was awful as a rookie, and yeah, those guys turned it around. Now, I don't think Zach Wilson was the prospect that either of those two were. So I don't think he's completely done either. But yeah, just all to say, like, I think the Jets have to pay a first round pick for Rodgers, right? Like, this will be the greatest quarterback that's ever played for this franchise. And I mean, if you know, when you go down and finally rank all the Jets quarterbacks, he's not going to be ahead of Joe Namath in terms of who is the greatest Jets quarterback, just because of, I mean, we assume he's only going to play a year or two at most versus an entire career with Namath with the Jets. But like, I don't think anyone would say that Joe Namath is a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers.
That's fair.
So like, to me, this is by far the best quarterback that's ever played for this franchise. If they can get him, you have to pay for that. You don't just get that for free. Like, they're thinking they can get Rodgers for a third just because the Packers want to trade him. I think the Packers will almost spite them and have him retire and eat a bunch of cap hit rather than just sell him cheap for a third. Like, I don't think they're going to do that. So
no, it'll have to be a first for sure.
And I don't think that, I wonder if it's which first, right? Like, the Packers probably want the Jets. They want the 13th overall pick this year so they can have the 13th and the 15th give them some leverage. The Jets probably want to make it the 24 first. If I'm the Packers, I'm taking that. But
that's maybe the other thing. That's the other thing that's being thrown out there, is in terms of a time window, it's got to be done by the draft. Otherwise, you're not talking about this year's draft picks anymore. You're talking about next year's and future years. So
which I ultimately think is what it's going to end up being. Like, if it's going to be a first, I think it'll be the 24 first, because the Jets, okay, we have Rodgers this year, so we expect to win. I mean, they were almost in the playoffs last year with Mike White and Zach Wilson and Joe Flacco at quarterback, right? So like, they probably are just an Aaron Rodgers away from being a playoff team. So if you have that confidence in your team, you should have no problem giving up a first for a quarterback. So I guess, do the Packers not want the Jets 24 first, knowing that they don't think it'll be great? But I also think, man, the AFC is loaded enough that it might still be like a early 20s pick. So,
yeah,
we spoke a lot about things that, like, we talked a ton about Zeke, talked a ton about Aaron Rodgers. They haven't moved. There's no news yet. I love this blatant speculation, Brian.
That's the fun part about football. Everybody, nobody's played a game yet. All the speculation. We're all 0-0. So.
It's not like the stock market, if you over-speculated, that ever caused any problems in the past or anything. But because, you know, we do tend to play Dynasty almost like a stock market, getting shares of players. I just referencing, got rid of my last Breece Hall share. I guess I didn't tell you the trade, did I? So I gave up Breece Hall. It's a 1QB league, Gators in this league, actually. 1QB league with a couple IDP players, start 10 on offense and another 2 IDP flexes. And I gave up Breece Hall and the 209 for Ken Walker.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a good trade. I'm a big Walker fan, though. So,
well, he's my Dynasty RB1. So I'm a huge Ken Walker fan. So that was part of the, I didn't have any Ken Walker shares in Dynasty. I had taken him a couple spots in redraft. I think Jeff's Zombie League last year, which I won that one too. It's funny how I've been able to, the two leagues I won this year, I've been able to throw them in without like it seeming too out of place. So kudos to me, I guess, for not just winning, but doing that. I didn't have any Walker Dynasty shares. So this was a way
That's where you should have stopped. Just talk about those leagues. Those are your only two leagues. And everybody's like, wow, this guy wins every league he's in. 'Cause that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, not quite. I would love that. But yeah, I it's just portfolio management. And it was my last Hall share, but without having a Walker share, that's the guy I'd rather have. Just get away from the, if I can get away from the torn ACL players, the players I think will be missing time off the bat, give me the player that at least has the chance to play a full season. So, and I like Walker just as much as Hall as a prospect. I don't think they were far off. I was one of the people, I know there's a few other like broadcast and content creators. Like, I think the 4D chess guys, I don't know if you listen to Destination Devi much, but Adam and Mike, they were very adamant on Ken Walker should be the 102 in Dynasty rookie drafts. And I was kind of flying that flag on, yeah, he's 102 in Dynasty. He's got to be your pick. So I liked Walker just as much as Hall. I felt it was a tier break after that. Like, it wasn't Hall, I felt, was the clear 101, but I also felt Walker was the clear 102. And now that, you know, Walker's doesn't have a torn ACL, I'm all in. I haven't even ahead of Jonathan Taylor, so I like what I saw from Walker. The offensive line with the Seahawks, it's improving, it's getting there. And the one thing, I think he caught more passes last year than his entire college career. So like that idea that he can't catch passes, that's gone. Like he proved that in the NFL. So and I like that Geno Smith's coming back, because it's not a quarterback that they're going to give 650 attempts to. It. It's all through the passing game. Like Geno Smith, okay, he's going to pass a lot to Metcalf and Lockett, but they're also probably going to rely on the run game a lot. And so far, like they, you know, lost Penny as a competition, lost Travis Homer. Like, I don't even know. I guess DJ Dallas is still there. So they haven't. Ooh, oh, God. Is Zeke going to end up in Seattle? Oh, is Fournette going to end up in Seattle? If they do, I don't care. Ken Walker has way more juice than them. So, yeah. I'm going to see RB1 right now.
And that one league that we're in together, out of default, I got Walker. So I was okay with that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Picking up that's true. But yeah, I guess, were there any other players you wanted to talk about before we got out of here, Brian?
No, I think we've done a pretty good job.
Yeah, I know Gator wanted to talk about DeAndre Hopkins, if he's going to be traded. I think we've speculated enough about stuff. We'll see if Aaron Rodgers is traded. Is DeAndre Hopkins traded? I know the Titans put Derrick Henry on the block. The Browns put Nick Chubb on the block. The Vikings put Dalvin Cook on the block. The Bengals put Joe Mixon on the block. They might cut them. I have a feeling none of those four running backs are moving. I think they're all staying where they are. Oh, I guess Jamie is playing stocks even more than Dynasty. He uses Precision Strike to buy stocks in NFL players. It's fun. That almost felt like an ad read. So I'm going to put our QR code just to make you feel like we're actually giving the sponsor a proper ad read. Again, the Underdog promo code GF2, get that double deposit match up to $100. You can, scan the QR code if you're watching on video on your screen here. But yeah, we'll head out now. And it's funny because how are we going to get all these topics? And I felt like we were doing good to a certain point. I think we almost got too cocky. And then I think it was the Zeke alley. We spent way too much time on Zeke and the Cowboys, and that got us off on all sorts of tangents. And then, fortunately Jay had to get out of here a little early. Gator Jay, that is, I had to go swim in a swamp or something.
He just opened up the floodgates, so that's okay.
Oh, that's way better than what I said. Good job. But yeah, happy again to be back. It's been almost a month since we last talked, Brian, in terms on the podcast. I guess because again we're bi-weekly every 2 weeks. Next Thursday will be in no particular order. I'm actually guessing on that one, so looking forward to that with Gladys and her sister Terry. I think we're going to be drafting 70s and 80s bands. I guess Brian doesn't like 70s and 80s bands. No, but while we're doing the outro, Brian either lost connection or had to head out early, but at FandyGrad92, Gator J is at FantasyJ77. I'm at Senra Says. I think I got Jay's account right. Really need to read these better instead of trying to do this off the lid all the time. But on my lid, you can see the Going For Two hat. All the great Going For Two merch is available at goingfortwo.com/store. You may as well check out all the rankings and articles on Going For Two as well. Brian's back just to give his final words for the audience.
Yeah, sorry about that. Y'all can always look for me at VandyGrad92 on Twitter. Like they were saying, we've got weekly, daily content here with Going For Two. It's always to be on the lookout for all that. So,
and appreciate you, Brian. Appreciate Jay. Appreciate Jeff for giving us this platform. And all the viewers and listeners know in the live chat, we had Jamie, we had Brian. Check out their shows too. Again, Brian's on Saturday nights on the Dynasty Saturday Night Five. Love talking Dynasty here. Jamie's part of the Fantasy Cheat Sheet. Their most recent episode was a couple days ago, which Gator chopped his way into and hijacked on. And I guess it was complain about Jacoby Brissett more than anything. And yeah, it's funny. Apparently Jamie likes all Cleveland players except Baker Mayfield, which is fair. although I guess their only playoff win in Millennium did come courtesy of Baker Mayfield. So I wouldn't criticize him too hard, Jamie, but yeah, I get it. But yes, love all our supporters, listeners. Great show, Brian. I thought we did well. And yes, on behalf of Brian, on behalf of Jay, I'm Kyle Senra, and this was the Dynasty Gambit. Bye for now.